and welcome to episode 185 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mouse from Mars, and joining me is the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Everyone's favourite teddy bear, Tony Esmond.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to speak to you without consulting my agent, John Alex.
In a second, listeners, you're gonna find that you'll probably find out a bit more about what we're talking about there. But before that, let's introduce the guest.
Yes.
This week we're joined by an artist who's blasted his way onto everyone's radar with his breathtaking work in the book Away, the second issue of which he's working on as we speak. Yes, this week we're going to be talking comics, artwork, and more with Grant Richards. Welcome to the show, Grant.
Nice one. Cheers. Hello, everyone.
Hello, man. You're right. Yeah.
Immediately down to earth. Lovely.
Yeah, exactly. Just how we like it. Yeah.
Yes, I think we're going to have a bit of an arty show this week because I think we've got a lot of questions for Grant considering his artwork. If anyone's seen his work or his Instagram, or like we say, the book Away, people want to know about it. And we've got a couple of questions from the Twitter people as well. So.
Nice. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And if anyone wonders why I sound especially sexy, I've got another cold. So I just want to say that from the beginning.
You were saying about how you were treating it before we came on the show. What was he using?
What do you mean?
He was using
what were you doing?
The oil and stuff.
Why have you got to make it sound sordid?
No, I was just saying if I can do you for witchcraft around your way.
Yeah. He's rubbing deep heat on him and sitting by the radiator. That's witchcraft.
I'm doing nothing with Pete. What? look, just because I've got my Lemsips and my Olbus oil and my lozenges.
Sorry.
Oh, God. Who have you become?
Listen,
we've got a rock and roll lifestyle coming up. We've got cigars and champagne in a bar in Cheltenham soon.
I know.
I know.
Look, I'll sort myself out, man. Look, I know I'm like Keith Moon right now, but I'll get back.
Expect us to be a bit lively at these things. We got to do our usual... Act mental and say boobs a lot, or it is we do.
Old men we are. Like before the show, I mean, seriously, folks, it's like Last of the Summer Wine. You won't believe it.
Don't say it.
We ended up talking about yoga last time. That's pretty rock and roll.
Yeah, Vince was being all cool, wasn't he?
Hey,
Vince was too cool for school at that one, and we all know we got the photographic proof of that one, my friend.
Don't have a go because I know how to do a furious lunge. All right,
Grant, do you like yoga, Grant?
I'm going to have to say no.
Well, I'll talk to you about it off air.
Sorry to disappoint.
Yeah, it's all right, man. It's all right.
Oh, God, I'm going to get loads of messages about this again, aren't I?
You are. You're going to get loads of messages about yoga. Yeah. Good.
And do you know what else is good, Tony?
Is it Comic House?
It is indeed Comic House. Our lovely sponsor.
Easy.
Every week.
I'm getting into this now. You know, normally I'm quite awkward with the advert.
Yeah.
But I've done all right this week.
Yeah. And then you immediately knocked it off.
Are you proud of me?
I'm very proud of you, Tony.
Thank you. Good. Thank you.
But what is Comic House, Tony?
It's like the Netflix of comics. Oh, honestly, I'm so good.
Yeah, but that's later. You've got to start it with... It's the indie comic marketplace with a difference.
Now, I haven't got a script, have I? This is all unscripted.
Yeah, but you've had to hear me... fuck it up week on week. Yes, anyway, no, it's all joking aside, this show is sponsored by Comic House, who a lot of our listeners know about. If you're new to the show, then you definitely need to check them out. Like I say, they're a comic marketplace that has a huge selection of titles on their database. If you're self-published, you can list your book on there for free. And if you've got copies, like, I don't know, up until the ceiling, all the boxes of comics, and you just need another avenue to... Get them available, as well as your big cartels and etc. Then you can put them on Comic House, and every copy they only charge a penny for every sale, which is brilliant.
Dang.
And we've got our comics on there at the moment. So
that's good.
Dan, that's where you jump in and shamelessly shill our stuff. But don't worry, you'll do it later. I know you will.
Yeah,
of course. But as well as that, they have a brilliant digital app, All the stuff that they've got on their database is available on the app. It's like Netflix for comics, like Tony said.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just following your lead, Tony.
Please do.
For only £3 a month, you get access to an enormous library of digital indie comics. What stuff have they got on there at the moment, gents?
On the latest update, we've got from Reckless Heroes, The Last Sheriff, Part 5.
Yes.
Megatomic Battle Rabbit, Issue 2.
Yeah.
Bun.
Fair Spot Books.
Yeah. And Weaselmeisters, issue one. That really looks a bit of an odd one, but give that a go.
Weaselmeisters?
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. Liz Bang and Amelia, the Adventure Bear. That's from First Art Books. And Romans versus Aliens. Which
I read again, that. I quite like that.
Oh, yeah, nice one. Okay.
For the people in the awesome chat page, he posted it on there for some opinions recently, didn't he? And I actually quite liked that. So it's a good idea.
Brilliant.
It's very bloodthirsty, which is good.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. So an eclectic mix. And you know what else you can get on there? You can get issues one and two of the awesome comic.
Yes.
And we'll be launching four in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Wait to come, can't wait to get your hands on that.
But, so isn't it like 11 days or 10 days or something, isn't it?
Well, you say that, Tony. You've got an actual countdown on your phone.
I have. It says, was it Release of the Last Sexy? I think I've got it. As a nice
thing. Which sounds like you just drop your trousers.
Yeah. That gives us the chance to bring sexy back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's either the Last Sexy or the Kraken. I don't know. Well, this is why I need to cut in that audio clip of Liam Neeson saying, Release the Kraken.
Yeah, you've got that in the bedroom on a loop.
You know it. I've always got I love a Neeson. Anyway, Comic House. Go to comichouse.com. Find out more about the app and all their brilliant service. There's a 14-day free trial as well. So go to comichouse.com. Find out more about the world of small press we talk about every week. There you go.
Very good.
We're getting better at those, aren't we? I think.
Yeah.
By the end of the year, they'll be serviceable.
Yeah.
Shite.
In all seriousness, though, we do truly appreciate Pete and the Comic
House.
Yeah, we do.
Guys. Yeah, we like it. And we're going to see him at Troops.
Yeah.
True Believers on the 2nd. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Never met Pete.
Hey, he's nice guy. I've only met him once. Yeah.
It doesn't narrow it down. There's many people in the small press world I haven't met.
But they all want to meet you, Dan.
They do. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the question we get asked more than anything, isn't it, Tony?
Where's Dan?
Where's Dan?
What's Dan up to? Doesn't he like you?
Just say he's in the bogs.
You say he's pulled. He's nipped off. Yeah, he's... the cosplay girl.
Oh, dear. I'm not going to take that any further.
No, I'll leave that one there. That was going off the rails. It was only 10 minutes in.
Yeah, it's only 10 minutes in. You know, Lord knows what it's going to be like in an hour and a half.
Should we talk about John Alex?
Oh, sorry, you're about to find out why I've immediately started laughing.
So I'll explain this to Grant and the viewers. We on the awesome comic page on Facebook, all three of us can access it as admins, and we often get like junk mail or people trying to spin us a line.
Yeah, and we do get some lovely people getting in touch.
Sending comics and stuff. Not to put it down on everyone, but this chap got in touch. Was it on Friday or Saturday, Tony?
Yeah, I think he'd been in touch a couple of times before, hadn't he? And I'd posted it on the page. And then Friday we got him again. I was having a bit of a bad day, and this did cheer me up, actually. A nice conversation with John. Yeah. So shall I read it out?
We're going to have a dramatic reading of what went down
by me.
Between, is it John Alex?
John Alex, which is clearly not a real name. I'm going to say it's a made-up name. So apologies if your name is John Alex, but it's not, is it? Let's face it.
Yeah. And the Awesome Comics Podcast, a.k.a. Tony Esmond.
Yeah, this was me for the day. So on the 11th of January, we got a message. Now, bear in mind, this is all written in lowercase and with very little spacing between words. It might be slightly difficult to read out, but I'm going to read it out. So I've got a message from him that said, "Hi, sir, busy?" Question mark. And then it said, "Sir, I'm an expert."
Tony, can you do voices?
No.
Oh,
I hear voices, I just can't do them. But he says, "Sir, I'm an expert in podcast promotion. Do you need help to promote your podcast?" And then he followed it up quickly with another message, which was 3 minutes later, that said, "Sir, will you get from me? Sir, will you get from me?" I don't even know what that means.
And it says, no, me neither.
It says, "1, real and organic listeners and lots of plays and listens. 2, lots of, there's very little spacing, so it's quite hard to read. 2, lots of real and organic downloads." He's addicted to that word organic, isn't he? He does like that.
Yeah.
3, huge amounts of subscribers. 4, top position, what you want. 5, lots of real organic reviews that are very helpful to podcast. Are you interested, sir? That's nice, isn't it?
So I'm totally interested. I don't know about
you. I'm up for that. I'm totally interested now. So because we're interested, I decided to post it as a funny joke on the page, and everyone responded with lots of funny jokes back, which made me laugh. And then on Friday in the afternoon, I got another one from him. We got another one that said, "Sir, are you there?" There must be something that shows you're online or something, I suspect. And it says, I said, "Wow, this sounds like an absolutely fabulous idea. Can I ask you a few questions first?" And he said, "Of course, sir." And I said, "Just to make sure we're on the same page, where do you stand on Brexit? Financially, it may have quite an impact on us." And he said, "What do you mean by Brexit?" Sir.
Well clued up then.
Yeah. "Sir, I have a team of expert promoter who promote podcasts in iTunes Store." And I said, "Do you promote the music on there too? Who is your favourite drummer? Is it Ringo or Michael Bublé?" And he has replied, "Of course, sir. Ringo is my favourite. I promote their music too." So apparently he promotes Ringo and Michael Bublé, which is pretty impressive. So I said, "Ringo is ace. Do you like to go clubbing?" And he said, "Yeah, that's really great, sir. And I like it so much too." I said, "Oh, that's a shame. I really don't like crowds or loud music." And he said, "Sir, but I'm not used to go there several times." What?
What the fuck?
"I'm always busy with my work." And I said, "Okay, it's not going great, I'm afraid. Let's play word association." "Okay, sir, but this is not a game." And I said, "It is. It's a fun game. What's the first word?"
That's my favourite bit.
I said, "What's the first word that comes into your mind when I say the following words? Promotion." And he said, "Podcast." I said, "Core audience." And he said, "Common people." I said, "William Shatner." And he's taken a while to reply, so I put like a little alarm clock emoji in. And he said, "Great actor." And I said, "Verisimilitude." I can't fucking say it today. And he's gone, ?" "We should always tell the truth." And I've gone, "Dirt, wrong answer. How about a lady garden?" And he said, "Sir, may I ask you something?" And I said, "Only if you're nice." And he said, "Do you want to get your podcast or music promoted?" So I said, "I'm not feeling we're quite right for each other, John. So I'm going to say no thanks. But thank you for your time." And he said, "Maybe you can think it, sir."
I want that on a T-shirt.
"But I think you give me single chance." And I said, "Listen, it's not you, it's me. I think we need to make a clean break. I wish you well in your endeavours and clear sailing, sir." And I gave him a little thumbs up emoji. And then he messaged me a few more times, and I ignored them.
Yeah, good call.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that's going anywhere, that guy.
Yeah, it's a shame that, isn't it? I felt that we were going well until he didn't reply to Lady Garden.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it was going to go on a bit from there, actually. I had a few words planned, but he called my bluff a bit on Lady Garden, didn't he, as many people have.
Yeah. When you bring that topic up and suddenly this all goes dead.
I mean, that was masterfully done, Tony.
Yeah. I was on the bus doing that. I was on the bus when I did that. You'd be proud of me.
I don't care where you were when you did it. I'm still proud of you. I'm always proud of you, Tony.
Yeah,
although if you were anyone's entertainment agent, they should fire you. Maybe we've lost our big shot.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, Michael Bublé is probably pleased that we're not going to take the dairy off him, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Are you a fan of Michael Bublé, Grant?
I'm going to have to say no again. Sorry, lads.
Just don't have to apologise to me.
Don't worry. I always felt there was a headline a couple of years ago where he had a photo taken of him on the beach, and it was by a tabloid, and he had put on a bit of weight, and they called it Michael Mublé. And that's just like, poor fucking bloke.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
What a fantastic pun.
Yeah. Thank God there was a tabloid journalism like that in comics.
Was he engaged to Emily Blunt for a while?
I don't know.
I think so. There's a rhyming slang. Okay. There's a rhyming slang about to happen, isn't there? That's it. Yeah.
Oh, God. Before we get down that rabbit hole, though.
Yeah.
Pardon?
God. And I've got to spend a flipping convention with these two.
It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah. Grant, save me.
Let's talk about art. Grant.
Yeah, let's talk about artwork and comics, which is why we're here. and Mr. Grant Richards. I think to get us kicked off, how did you actually get started in comics? Is a way your first sort of comic work?
It was, yeah. Basically, wow. I made the trip up to Birmingham a couple of years back, 2015. And so basically, I think it was Sunday morning. I was just waiting around in like the waiting area with like everyone else there, you know, and I was like sat there like Billy No Mates. And then, while I was just like sort of like looking around, Mr. Late approached me.
He's like that.
He is like that.
Always cruising for a piece of arse is Mr. Late.
Approaching vulnerables in bus stations. Oh, we love John.
Yeah, so
yeah, we do. We like him. Yeah, he's a good lad.
He is. Yeah, top bloke. And so basically we got chatting. He was telling me about his book, Forever and Born, that he's going to be bringing out. He showed me a few pages of the art, you know, looked fantastic. And he was basically telling me, he said, look, I've got a story. I want to get done and I want to get out there. And he said, I was just wondering if you're interested. And I said, yeah, you know, so.
So how did he come upon your artwork then? Before then, was it just like stuff he had seen on Instagram, or, you know, had you just been posting like just pinups and stuff before that?
I think basically he was, there's a chappy out there called Wayne Riley, and basically he had web with John. And so I think he did like see some of my stuff on Facebook or whatever it was. I wasn't on Instagram at the time, but I had most of my artwork there anyway, all the originals, and just like started showing him, you know.
So
like
was this at Birmingham? Was this ICE, I believe?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because they run that sort of get together on that. Is it a Sunday? What's it called? That.
I think you'll find that's just been closed down as a sort of concept, isn't it? Because they moved over to this. Is a salapeer or something they're calling it now, aren't they?
What's that? That sounds like a dish.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. I'll find out what we're talking. I'll have a look. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, go on.
So you know, I mean, that must have been to go from just having a wander around to seeing all the, you know, the small press scene. As soon as you step into it, the world just sort of explodes, doesn't it? I mean, were you always heavily into comics before going to that event, or was it something that you always thought, well, maybe one day I'll try my hand at that? But
I've always been into comics. Early age, I think the earliest comic I can remember, probably about 6 or 7 at the time, was a Star Wars comic. But I think it was when I moved to Australia. I was about a family moved to Australia when I was about 6, and after that I got into 2000 AD, and that's when I was that was in Perth. One of my schoolmates got me into 2000 AD. He had the Road Trooper Bagman symbol on his backpack.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
No, you carry on, mate.
I was gonna say, looking at your work is kind of like you've got a really kind of how would I describe it? I'm just looking for your stuff on Instagram, and you do like a kind of a fair bit of portrait work. Is that correct in saying? Because like your style comes across quite fine arty as opposed to like a stock comic book artist. So where did you how did you bring on your style? Or where did you get that from?
There's a lot of influences there. You know, when I was growing up, it was, I think, one of the main artists who really caught my eye at the time was Boris Vallejo.
Oh, nice one. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, like looking at a lot of his stuff, and then,
I can totally see that. Certainly with the cover of Away and like some of these other sort of like more painterly pieces you've got in there, I can totally see that. Because like he had a wonderfully sort of, there was a soft touch to the paints, weren't there? There was always something slightly smoky and smooth. I mean, I've got like an art book of his, and it's just beautiful stuff.
Yeah. He did a surprising amount of commercial illustrations, didn't he? He wasn't just like the fantasy painter. He did like Nash Lampoon's cover. There's a ton of stuff he's done.
Yeah, he did European Vacation.
European Vacation, yeah. Yeah. I think he does like a lot of like covers for Sports Illustrated. And I can't remember what comic book artist was it that was espousing, basically saying, don't just do comics, make sure you're up to the scratch of doing kind of commercial art and stuff like that, because he said that's where a lot of the money is. And
it does pay better, allegedly, doesn't it?
Yeah. Allegedly, was kind of like leading the pack at one point back in the 80s. Yeah.
I was going to say, how did you find the transition to comics then, Grant? Was it an easy thing to figure out from doing single images to move over to basically something where the action is happening between panels, sort of thing?
Well, to be honest, I found it. Well, it was. It was a bit tougher, actually, to be honest. When I went to ICE, I did take a few sample pages, you know, sequential art. And basically, most of the feedback I got was, tending to say, like, more action, more movement. That sort of thing. You know, just everything was very, you know, just like static, very still, you know. So
I was going to say, some people sort of see certain artists almost as cover artists, and some artists as interior artists, don't they, sometimes? Yeah. And when you're you're handing over the sort of the single image, some people think, I've often seen people say, oh, you do a great cover or a great pin-up or something like that, as opposed to the sort of nitty-gritty of the panel-to-panel stuff. It is a different discipline, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd say so.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Did you, how did you go about, or did you have to relearn that, or did you have to sort of concentrate on certain aspects, or was it all in John's script, maybe? I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, John's script was, bloody amazing. A lot of, detail there, like, what he wanted. But, I mean, I was looking around at, like, I just looked at all my books and just basically sort of like, you know, soaking it all in, like, you know, see how all the other artists like deal with certain things. And and I just sort of went on from there.
Because I've got to say, Away is doing a first comic, and Away being that first title, it's very challenging from reading the comic. I mean, there's a lot of kind of like trippy kind of sequences where characters going through kind of like these strange kind of transformations and seeing these strange sort of psychedelic vistas. That must have been tough to do, because even looking at it, I think, Christ, how would I tackle that? How would the page be like? Would it be overly descriptive, or just John would give you some outlines on what you had to do?
Description of which each panel would contain, and sort of going from there. I mean, there was a few pages that, you know, really sort of, I thought, hang on a minute, how the hell am I going to deal with this one? one of them was page 13, which it was basically like a splash page with like all the multiverses, all the I mean, man, that one, that really
taxed you
for a while.
I mean, I think stuff like that, you just go back and forward with the kind of the writer artist until you kind of get something you're after, because that can certainly be tricky. I mean, I've hit that bump a couple of times with people, and it's like just trying to narrow down what they're after and what you can do for them. But I think you did admirably, especially for first crack.
I remember being shown pages by John early on, and him telling me not to say anything, but basically going, fuck me, look at this, this looks great. How good is this going to be? And I definitely think a lot of buzz got going on that book due to a lot of your sort of single page images and stuff like that. You know, some really great stuff there. Especially the cover, to be fair. The cover's really striking.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, on your Instagram, like the rendering style, I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of, but it's fantastic. It's absolutely lovely stuff. It's kind of like quite old school, but very modern. And there's the one where there's that rat guy and he's jumping. What is it in front of the Gherkin, the building?
Yeah. Kind of like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that image. Yeah.
And it's like, ah, it's great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. I love it.
I mean, the thing about your style, Grant, as well, it's very precise. I mean, people who go on the Instagram, etc., have seen your artwork without the colours on it. And they're lovely colours by, is it Darren Stevens, I believe?
Yeah.
You know, you're very precise in a sense of there's no space. You know, you don't see a blank panel that, oh, there'll be computer effects there. You know, we'll just do a computer effect. You know, that'd be fine. You know, just Google the universe or something and just put an image in there. You pretty much draw everything on the page, don't you? Is that something you feel you need to do? Like, no, there should be almost no space. If you see some white space, do you want to fill it?
That was one of the things that I was sort of told over at ICE, and they, because I must admit, when I look back at some of my older stuff, they did say you've got to work on your backgrounds as well, you know. So I thought, well, okay, if that's what I've got to do, then,
who did you go to for advice? Who was it you were speaking to, Grant?
Well, I saw everyone that day. I'm just trying to think. No, I think I saw it. I can't think of any of the names at the moment, but yeah, I think I saw everyone.
Did you prepare yourself to take a bit of a battering? Not that you deserve one, but, you know, everyone tends to get a bit of a battering, don't they? And if they take it on the chin, they do well, but some of them go away a bit disillusioned. Did you sort of sit down and write a list of things that you needed to do or anything like that? Or
No, I just sort of, I just went in sort of like, you know, just ready for whatever came at me, you know. So basically, any criticisms, you know, good, bad, then I just take it and then just sort of like move on, carry on, just get better, with whatever.
Did you have like kind of go to art school or anything like that in regards? Because I usually find people who've been through that process are usually can take it on the chin a little better than those that haven't, as a rule of thumb.
Yeah, I did a couple of years of art college back in Australia, and I finished it up over in Epsom when I came back to the UK. That was it. That was the end of that. It was okay. They weren't big comic book fans in art college, you know. So
What's that line in Red Dwarf? Did you get an education? No, I went to art college.
Yeah.
Let's say that old Red Dwarf. I think I went to the Camberwell School of Art or something, I think, you know. So
When I did my degree stuff, like the any hint of comic book stuff, that was like you're getting a bad mark on that, so I couldn't really do it for ages.
Oh really?
Yeah, basically this like course suicide to be doing. I'm not sure what it's like nowadays, obviously you got courses set up to do just comics, which would have been great back in the day. But
yeah, hopefully that's turned the corner a bit now, isn't it?
Back then it was like, don't be doing that, otherwise you're going to do really badly.
Around your art, Grant, I can see a little bit of the Brian Talbot in your eye, actually. Are you aware of his stuff?
Yeah. When I started reading 2000 AD, he was one of the first artists that stood out, and that was with the Nemesis.
Oh,
Award.
Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
Love that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a few other artists like Glenn Fabry, Cliff Robinson, you know.
Okay.
Guys like that, just fantastic artists. Brilliant.
I mean, yeah, great storytellers. Yeah,
I think you're tailor made for a future 2000 AD story of some kind.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah, fuck yeah!
What would be your ideal sort of, you know, character or story from the 2000 AD that you'd like to do?
Definitely Dread.
Yeah,
I'd have to say Rogue Trooper as well. I quite like him.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, what sort of Dread? I mean, everyone's got their own take on Dread. I think that's the thing about that character that stands out to me more than anyone else. Like, certainly Rogue Trooper, you know, there's different art styles and ways of drawing him, but it doesn't vary too much, does it, between artists? I mean, I would say.
Yeah.
Whereas dread, you know, the jawline changes in size, the helmet's a different shape, people do the shoulder pads differently, you know, that there's, everyone has their own dread, don't they? Yeah, how would you draw yours? Was your, I mean, because you did a brilliant sort of that painting of Carl Urban as dread. Do you like the more sort of realistic dread, or are you like the more sort of hyper over the top, you know, let's give him a jaw that you can cut meat on kind of dread?
I suppose I have to go for the more realistic. Yeah, I think that's the way I'd go, definitely.
Yeah. I'd love
the thing is about Dredd is he stays a reliable and interesting character, because it's not just him, is it, though? He's almost like sometimes a background player in a lot of the stories, isn't he? You know,
yeah.
And he's almost kind of a villain sometimes.
Yeah. You know?
And it's the city's got character, and the people, and the just the awful conditions they live in is one of the reasons you sort of keep going back to this sort of, this whole sort of painting rather than just him, isn't it? Which I think is where Road Trip is not as strong, almost, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of you can really kind of with Dredd, you can go to that character straight away and understand what's going on. With Road Trip, kind of being that this sort of the nebulous battlefield that these two great armies are fighting under, it's a bit harder, a bit more of a reach. But it's funny you said it, because Duncan Jones, who's reportedly to be doing a Road Trooper film, he said he wasn't that mad on the depiction of Dredd in the Carl Urban film, which
okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think it's a great depiction of him in a film. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'd want him a bit more totalitarian, but yeah, it's a film. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, they couldn't go for the full-on Nazi dread, could they? You know, no. Sort of. Yeah. Did for your for working on Away, did John send you loads of sexy pictures of himself in a fireman's uniform, or what was that? And I know he sends me them, and I'm not even an artist, Grant, and he sends them to me. So.
So also, Grant, like your style is very much is traditional, isn't it? You're looking at like pencils, inks.
That's right.
So, like, say an average page on Away, how long would it take you to kind of, from when you sit down to pencil it to when you finished inking, what turnaround time are you looking at there?
Oh, well, when I first started doing it took me ages to do a page. I think the most I spent on a page was probably just over a week. But, I mean, I've got quicker since then.
Yeah.
Not much. But yeah, still pretty slow.
That's a lot. Well, you can tell by looking at the pages there. Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of work. Because the cross hatching alone must have taken you bloody ages. I remember doing that back in the day with like the dip pens, and even then I was like, oh fuck this.
I was chatting to Jason Gunn this week. We went for lunch, and he was showing me some of his pages. And he says sometimes I think I'll do it like a more of a sort of sketchy, quicker style. He says I just can't do it. I'd just end up like noodling and doing loads of detail and stuff like that. You know, it's just something in me. I can't bring myself to do it. I have to do this sort of super detailed, clean line. You know, and his art's in many ways similar to you, actually, Grant. It's in a sort of style, I think, and it is that sort of gorgeous sort of detail to it. You know. Would you like to do like a more of a sort of cartoony like style that might be quicker, but you just find yourself being drawn back to the detail and, you know, the perfection of it all? Or...
Yeah, I mean, a few years ago, I did try out just like doing the basic line art, you know, the outline. But I don't know, I just felt like it needed more. So that's when I basically got back into all the shading, the hatching, all the cross hatching. But I mean, with inking, geez, I'm still learning. You know, it's when I started Away, I was using Bic pens, and that's what I felt comfortable with. You know, but over the time, you know, I was, on Facebook where you see other artists like doing little videos, and I was one of the main pens was the Micron pens. And I thought, right, okay, let's give that a go. So, so just over a time, just starting to get a bit more sort of, I don't know, it just felt easier, you know, where I spend like a good half hour before I like start a page, and I'll just be just doing little tryout sections, you know, just seeing how the pen worked and getting the feeling for it, you know?
And it's not cheap, is it? They ain't cheap, those pens, are they?
No.
You know? No, they're not.
And you think, oh, I'll have a go with this. And you look at it, you think, how much? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're telling me the first few pages of Away are in essentially biro.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah.
Jesus. Wow. I mean, fair play. You'd never know. I mean, yeah. I think that's the beauty of, like, when everything's inked and coloured and stuff. It's just seamless.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there is a real sort of... the artwork from page 1 to page 80 or however many pages, it's consistent, isn't it?
All yeah, it's very consistent. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask about the editorial process over that. What were you doing with that? Were you sending pages in at a time, Grant? Or were they just into John? Because I know that Marcosia published it. Were they going through Marcosia as well, or was John sort of taking the role of editor as well?
Basically, I send the pages straight to John. Probably depending on what I was doing, because I work full time as a security officer. So all my work's done on my rest days. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And, I send them across to him, and then, if there's anything that he, I know a couple of times he did pull me up on one of a couple of the backgrounds. So, let's have something in there. So, he was pretty cool that way.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So it's like a genuine collaboration between the two of you. Yeah. And then then I suppose he presented Marcosia with the whole package, did he, I suppose?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
We were talking before we came on air about, like, when you have to, if you get artwork from an artist and have to kind of flag up issues, it can be certainly tricky. I mean, when it's like done like yourself and it's all hand drawn, you can't just make changes on like easily. So when you're working traditionally, that's the kind of the payoff. You can kind of move stuff around, but. Yeah, it can be tough if you're an artist and then the writer or whoever you're working for says, well, we need to change X, Y, and Z. And it's like, oh, fucking hell, that's a shitload of work. But, that's the symbiote relationship in comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, have you heard that, Vince? Because I know you've done work for other people on pen and paper, haven't you? Have you ever had to change much?
Thankfully, not too much. I mean, I've had pointers, this person should... they should be facing here or something like that. And they've been right every time. But I think I'm just lazy. Do you know what I mean? So, it's like, oh, this should be like this. This part of my brain. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that again.
I think if you're trying to keep your ego out of it and you're trying to make the best comic possible and someone says, look, change this, it will make the comic better. That's what you should be. Yeah. That's enough reasoning.
Yeah. You need to separate yourself as well, isn't it? Because, like, especially if you're doing work for someone else.
Yeah.
Then it's, that they're paying you.
Exactly.
For the pages. Yeah, exactly. Stuff, so.
Yeah, that's how me and Nick work is. He sends me a page, and then sometimes you don't notice the changes until you notice the changes between pages sometimes. We had, in the next issue, we've got a transition from one thing into the next in the story. And I just felt that the hard sort of panel borders weren't working, so we changed that a bit, and it worked much better.
Oh, okay, that's fun.
Yeah, there's a few little things that we, it's just, we always preface everything with, this is awesome, however, can we just, like, this is just a small thing, how about this? And everyone, I've never met anyone who's gone, oh, no, it's my art, I'm an artist, you don't understand. Everyone goes, oh, yeah, I see what you mean, okay, cool. Because I think sometimes you need, giving it to me is almost me standing back and looking at it as well. And don't forget, it started with me, the nonsense started with me, so... Nick's only kind of drawing what I've asked. And then I said, oh, can we tweak this a bit? And we added a line of dialogue to explain something else. And little things like that. I think you're always worth a tweak.
Yeah. I mean, I've got huge admiration for, these people that are doing these hugely detailed splash pages or, these spreads and stuff. And then, if things got to change, you've got to go in and just almost redo the whole thing. That takes obviously a huge amount of talent, but also patience and understanding, and that stuff like that can probably make or break a working relationship anyway, can't it? Do you know what I mean? It's the way you handle
that sort of interpersonal relationship between the writer and the creative teams. Definitely.
I mean, I think the example you can quote, sorry Danny, the example you can quote is that when Kirby went to DC, and he drew, I think it was a Jimmy Olsen comic, he drew Superman, and the editorial got someone else to redraw the faces. I've got a feeling it's someone like Neil Adams or someone. Can't remember exactly who, Kurt Swan or someone, because they said that it didn't look like Superman enough. So if Jack Kirby can take it on the chin, so can we. Do you know what I mean? I think that's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
Yeah. When it comes to away and like working on that, though, Grant, in terms of reference, because there's so many ideas in this book, so many different and wild ideas, you know, from like modern day the UK to the farthest flung areas of space, which I'm guessing some of this stuff you just don't have reference for. But there's other bits like, you know, the English sort of fire uniforms and things like that. That was there a real sort of like, make sure you get these bits right? You know, is there a perfectionist in you that makes that like gets loads of reference to make sure every buckle is in the right place, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted everything to look like it should do, you know. So, yeah, there was a fair amount of Googling and stuff like that. But, I mean, in regards to, excuse me, in regards to, like, drawing figures, I know, I most of the time I'd sort of, like, pose myself, to make sure that the figure looked right, you know, like shading as well. My sister, I even like just like took some pictures of her face, you know, and she was one of the characters in a way. So,
oh, cool.
So how do you do that then? I mean, you know, with her face, or because we've met him, I definitely recognise Rob Jones in this. He also lettered it just before his head gets split apart, which he must have loved. And I'm being genuine, you must have loved that. You know, how do you handle, like, you know, if you want to use a likeness or a reference in a book, you know, do you just draw, you know, you print out a copy of the photo and then just essentially work from that? You know, how do you do that? I've always wondered that with photo reference.
I mean, I just, like, you know, most of the time just take it off my phone, you know. But, I very, very cheekily, like, going through Rob's little profile pics on Facebook. So,
Facebook or X-Hamster. I believe he's got profiles on both. I don't get it. Sorry, man.
Yeah, just taking pictures from the phone, and then just working from there. And sometimes I've got plenty of like wildlife, you know, all sorts of books hanging around the house, you know, so that's always good.
Cool.
I mean, a couple of shots in fucking Viper where I've couldn't get a face and I've had to like take a photo and draw from that, and there's I'll see a couple of times I'll ask me in the comic popping up.
But how do you do that, Dan? Do you literally, you know, just have that picture up on screen and then you're just sort of looking at that for reference and drawing?
Yeah, just kind of like, so the kind of proportions and the usually it's kind of upshots or kind of saying this a bit trickier rather than just like a front or a side on one that's just a bit more angled, just to get the look right, and then you kind of stylize it a bit to make it look not like what it is.
What's the most difficult angle to draw a human head from?
One of the ones I find quite tricky is looking straight up with like the camera or viewer underneath.
The sort of worm's eye view, looking up so you can see the bottom of the jaw and stuff.
Yeah,
like
that's tricky. Yeah. Or one position behind the ear, and you just get some of the features on the face on the side. It's really difficult to kind of get that looking like.
And like the tip of the nose, maybe just sticking
exactly.
Out.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just to get that looking right, because. I've drawn hands and I've totally fucked them up, and then I've just taken a photo of my hand and then put it in Photoshop because it's like I've fucked off with doing this. It's my hand, I've taken a photo and I'm going to put it in there.
Yeah, I've got the image rights to my hand.
It's interesting.
I'll include sometimes little bits like that when I'm putting a script together. I think I sent a script through to you, Dan, which we didn't end up doing, but about a boy in a car looking bored with his face, like his fist leaning on his fist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you can illustrate.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, because sometimes the words don't describe enough, quite enough. I just want to communicate completely over. I've just sent a request for a pin-up to Rachel Lee Carr, actually, and I've included some sort of examples of the kind of style that I want, because it's hard to sort of express in words the type of vibe I want with it. So I've included a load of sort of pictures of posters, and I've included the firearms that I wanted in the, you know, pictures of the gun that I want him to hold and stuff like that. It is useful like that. Does John send you many reference photographs as well through, does he,
Grant? He has sent me a few round, but I mean, most of the time I just get on Google and just look for stuff myself. If he has got anything in mind, he will send it across.
Because I imagine he, bearing in mind he is a fireman, he'd be quite interested in getting the uniforms right, if you see what I mean. Because if this is being sold to his colleagues, they're going to give him a load of shit if the uniform's not right, you know, or the MAC or the helmet or whatever it's going to be, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, at first he did send me like shots of the uniforms that he wears. And then from that point onwards, if I didn't need anything else, then I just basically just grab anything that sort of looked very similar, you know.
Yeah, I get you. Interesting.
So how did your sister feel about being in the book? Did she know until the book was out? Or
I spoke to her about it just before she came over, and she was up for it. Yeah, she was well excited.
That's cool, isn't it? Yeah, it's great.
It is cool seeing yourself in a comic. If someone like
it is, isn't it?
Draws you into a comic book, it's just, I don't know, it's just really nice.
Especially when Dan drew us into Vanguard and we got blatted in the face.
Just before we were all naked and merged together. Lovely.
That's it. Yeah.
It's just an accurate representation of what we get up to when we meet up.
God, that took ages to pose that, didn't it? It was so painful. Yeah.
So obviously,
asking the passerby to take the photo was the awkward bit. So, Grant, you do like commission. I presume you do commission work. How do you find that process? Because a lot of your stuff's really heavily detailed. So, do you take like a lot of instruction off people, or do you just kind of like get cracking?
I mean, sometimes there's there's some details that they want, specific details, but most of the time it's like, yeah, just draw him or draw her, or I just get stuck in. Yeah, you know, I do a pencil sketch first, and then you know, just send it across to them, see if they like it, and then just go on from there.
How do you network for that, dude? How do you find the work for that?
It's just all through Facebook, you know. Whenever it pops up, when I did that. Carl Urban Dread, you know, that was up the Dread Facebook page. Mm. I did get a few messages about that, you know.
Yeah, oh, nice. As well as the Palpatine, you had a wonderful painting of that. You know, surely you must have got some nods after that one.
No, I didn't. Oh. Yeah. Quiet at the moment.
I think Star Wars is not on the back foot at the moment, so that may be the reason. Their reflection on artwork.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any sort of strange requests, Grant? Have you ever had any sort of, I want you to draw my missus doing this, or any of that sort of weirdness?
No, nothing like that yet.
But you'd clearly be open to it. It's fair.
Because there's those posts like with those people that draw that stuff, and they get like thousands and thousands of pounds per month. And it's like, yeah, I'd do that. Because a lot of the artists say that after a while, it's just like, that's all you get fucking known for, and it, after a while, it gets a bit of a downer.
I think Vanda every year in New York gets a bloke come over and says he's into. I can't remember. I think it's zebras, and he says, "Yeah, and the zebras tied a lady up, and he's milking her." And Vanda's like, "Nope."
Is it every year?
The bloke comes over the table. Yeah, and I remember at least a few years in a row, because Vanda said to me, "Here he comes. That bloke's coming over. Here we go." like that. I'm like, "Oh, here we go."
You reckon he goes around the entire con asking people for that? And they're like,
weirdness, yeah. I think he's asked Lammings for some stuff as well, like weird stuff. And he's gone, look, no, don't think so. But I think he's willing to pay, you know.
It's fuck me, you'd find loads of people online that are willing to do fucking anything for a few quid.
Yeah, me, for example.
Us included, yeah.
Yeah.
Send those requests in. PayPal. Bank transfer, yeah, we do it all.
Yeah.
We've got to pay for the champagne on Friday night.
You know it. So, obviously, since Away's come out, have you been to many conventions or been to many sort of comic book stores, done any events or anything? What's that been like?
I went to Oldham Comic Con last year.
Oh, how was that, man? I keep meaning to do that. Yeah, I want to go and do that one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I did arrive a little bit late, but I mean, it was very good. Lots of.
Did you stay over? Did you stay over?
We went out for a few drinks after.
Very diplomatic.
That's how I've heard. It's a big drinking one, that one. Yeah. And what about Thought Bubble? Have you not done Thought Bubble yet, Grant? Or
I'd like to, but at the moment it's just got a fair bit going on, you know. So
Do you? So I think you'd do well there, mate. Yeah. I have to say. Yeah, I think you would.
Oh yeah, definitely. Do you like to you know, having that table at Oldham, were you sketching at the table or anything like that?
Yeah, I did a couple of sketches, but most of the time I was just like talking to people, which is great. You know, to be honest, I mean, when people ask me for a sketch, I just I tend to freeze up a little bit, you know. So I did a couple of little scribbles for a couple of people, but
it's a strange thing, and I hear this from a lot of. I hear it from a lot of artists. It's a strange thing. You're quite happy drawing at home and, you know, this sort of thing. But when someone at a convention says, you know, it's such a pressure, isn't it? You know, especially when they keep coming back and looking. I know it is. As a punter buying a sketch, I'll go back and see, how are you getting on? And they go, I'm almost there. You know, it's a bit. I know you've mentioned this before, Vince, haven't you? You said it's a strange sort of thing to do, isn't it?
It is, you know, it's fun to do, but I always feel like I've... like
pressure.
People... give me a Josh, like he had his Judge Dredd sketchbook, didn't he? Do you remember that?
That's right. Yeah.
And he asked me to draw Judge Dredd in there, and like you just and one thing
following everyone in the world is
one thing
Dredd.
You probably shouldn't do. You should just look at the blank page and go, right, here's my sketch, and just do it. You shouldn't go, oh, let's see what else they've had done, because you have a look at those pages and you think, what am I gonna do? But I mean. It's just a self-confidence thing, you know. I think the more you do it, the more you get used to it, isn't it? And certainly, like, when you go up to some artists, just say you've got, like, a Marvel artist who's been drawing Spider-Man, I don't know, for 50 issues. They'll do a sketch. They'll probably just swish something out in about 30 seconds.
Without even looking at it,
you know. It's almost muscle memory, isn't it? They just know exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
It's when you get those moments where you've got to draw a character you're not particularly au fait with.
That's why the old
pre-ordering sketch thing works, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of my favourite sketches, like, I always pre-order before New York and places like that, and you can go and collect. And there's none of that pressure. They quite often will put a little bit more into it because they're not sort of pressured through the day. And I really like that, just going and collecting. I always do it with Gabriel Hardman, and I love his stuff. And he produces some gorgeous stuff around there.
It's something I'd like to do more as well. You know, I think, you know, it's just a time factor, isn't it? Just getting them done.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough time for troops now. But
You're kind of fine.
You could do a couple, couldn't you?
Yeah, I could probably do a couple. So if anyone give me a shout if you want a doodle.
And you, D. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, got time. Yeah.
Yeah. I can write some slash fiction if you want.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be sexy.
Didn't you do some for when we was at London Super Comic Con the first time around, Vince? Yeah, I remember you doing some Predator ones.
Yes. Yeah, I sold a Predator to a Predator. Oh,
yeah.
What day that was.
That's right. Yeah. They were like the hip-hop Predators, weren't they?
Yeah. That was great as well, though. I mean, I did enjoy that experience of like having almost like a sketch, because I'm just stealing ideas from other people. Artists say, all right, I've got a commission or sketch list. They announce it probably a couple of months before the show, don't they? Or more than that sometimes. I should do that. Maybe I'll do that a bit more this year. And probably just charge hardly anything because it's got
nothing. Up.
We get cracking with that before you know the fucking cons like a week later. You know, I plan to do all these things. And
yeah.
I was trying to get my sketchbook for last year ready for this year. And that's just, I now got a week and a bit to do that. And it's not a lot of time. Yeah. So,
are you going to do another sketchbook, are you?
Yeah, I was trying to do one 2 years running and then wanted to make it a third. But as long as I get it done this year, it's all right.
Yeah, they're a good little thing to do, Grant. Have you ever done one of them where you put... is it like A5, guys, isn't it? That sort of size,
Yeah, that's usually what it is.
Yeah.
A4 and a half and
I'd certainly buy a copy one from you. You do, it's because you've got a load of a wealth of stuff to put in it, haven't you? Have you done one before, or?
No, actually, yeah, I think I've done a couple of sketches in like someone else's book, but I mean,
I'm thinking more of a sort of printed, you know, of all the sort of commissions. You, a lot of pro artists do it, don't they? Now I've got one from Fregredo, Duncan Fregredo, sitting in front of me, and it's sort of just the sort of commissions they've done over the years,
character designs and stuff. Yeah, like that. Yeah,
and a lot of artists put out one a year, and they make a nice little thing. I know Matt Harrowood does one a year as well. It's really nice.
Yeah,
and they're like a nice little thing to collect. Sometimes I think they're worth doing, and they're a nice rather than spending a lot of money on maybe a print or a piece of original art that are sometimes a little bit too bulky to carry around. You've got like a nice little, you know, meeting that artist and chatting to him.
I think you do really well with those, Grant. I think
your work would be really
popular. I mean, seeing some of the stuff on your Instagram, like you've been working on sort of some older characters that you've had in your mind for quite some time, like one called Damage Case. Now, tell us a little bit about this, because this sounds like one of those, I had this idea in my head when I was 16, and I've never been able to get rid of it. Is it that kind of idea?
Sort of. It was just like a character, or, you know, just working on one night shift, and just sort of went on from there. It was like the gym rat character as well. That was my... you know, you see like Gold's Gym and World Gym. And it basically started off as a t-shirt design. And basically, it was just maybe if I sort of brought him into the same sort of like storyline with Damage Case. So that's basically what I'm working on at the moment. So it's...
I was going to ask you, Grant, about Inner Worlds, which you're doing with Kevin Gunstone, who's also a previous guest of ours, pal of ours.
Yeah.
What's that all about, dude? Are you allowed to say, are you, or is it a bit of a secret so far? Or?
Yeah, it's still a pretty secret squirrel, but I mean, yeah, I'm very excited about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And are you allowed to say who it's for, or who's publishing it, or?
At the moment, no one at the moment. Yeah, so it's still early days.
And I've seen you put the cover. The cover's very sort of, I don't know, like maybe Barbarella type. It's that sort of thing, is it? Or
Yeah. It's like a big sort of like an influence for the story, I suppose. It was like, lots of 60s sci-fi, you know. But
nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I know you're avoiding saying anything there, aren't you? So I won't pursue you around that one.
Yeah.
Anyone who go and check out Grant's Instagram, because there's a couple of sort of pencil pages from that in there, or it's certainly the cover, and it looks amazing. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Kevin's quite the character, isn't he? Because he's worked for Marvel before, isn't he, Kevin? I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Basically, he sent me a message. When was it? He sent me a message via Facebook about a year ago, and so I thought, okay, yeah. Definitely getting there. Basically, he sent me the script and, another cracking script. And so I did like the first 6 or 7 pages. Yeah. And
Cool. The lady on the cover, sorry to interrupt, the lady on the cover of Inner Worlds, is she based on anyone real? And if so, can I have a phone number?
Oh. No, afraid not. Sorry.
Sorry, Vince. Go on, mate. Sorry.
I don't know, you'd ask something like that, Tony. In terms of scripts, you know, what's that been like for you, like, obviously starting with The Weight? Has it been interesting, like, seeing how different writers attack scripts? You know, and also some artists like a more detailed description where some people just want a few pointers, you know. Have you sort of found that you're creating a way you like working with a writer in that way?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. There is a difference between Kev and John. Sometimes it can be the same. You know, if there is anything specifically they want for a panel, then you know they really go into like you know a lot of detail. I did some work for Rob Jones. I did some pages for him and. you know, he was pretty much the same as well, you know, sort of like, you know.
What was that for you did for Rob Jones?
Okay. I can't really say much about that one as well, so.
Oh, no, okay. It's like the fucking CIA comics. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, we're all... it is. Yeah. But, I mean, that's exciting because that's obviously, there's two projects later this year. Surely, hopefully, going to see the light of day from you.
You've got to have something in the works all the time. That's the thing with the comics world these days. You've got to always have something on the go. And if you're not, I get a bit antsy that I'm not doing anything. So I have to, you know, come up with something. You know, it's, there's always something to be doing in there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We got a couple of little questions from the Twitter.
Cool.
One, which is from someone that Grant knows, which is John Late. I've never heard of him before. No. Don't know who he is, but
I haven't seen John for a while, has he?
Obviously,
is he a True Believers, John? I hope he is. I haven't seen him for a while.
He came as a visitor last time, didn't he? Because there was
a
romantic photograph with him and Dan Butcher.
That, there was, wasn't there? Yeah. I forgot about that.
That much sexiness in close proximity.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, the multiverse is almost imploded. Anyway, so John, obviously, he talked about the Carl Urban Dreg painting and how it looked great on a magazine monthly. He said, which comic would Grant like to do a painted cover for? Now, I think he's shooting across the board here because he finishes it. Can you imagine Grant's take on the Kurgan from Highlander if Dynewyte ever started the series again? And he finished it with Sexoosh. Which I've never heard that word before.
Yeah.
Good one. Yeah.
Sexoosh. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any particular sort of franchise, genre, comic, character, whatever, that you think, I'd love to just do a cover for that series one day?
Maybe like four interlocking covers I'd love to see from you, dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what? I really love the Sin City books.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, like doing a painted page, like say Marv or someone like that.
Yeah.
I mean, just that'd be awesome.
I'd love to see that. Ooh, that'd be a lovely painting. right, our friend Matt Strott. He's got a couple of sort of mini questions here. He says, not only do I want to know how he got so good at cross hatching, but how does he stay in shape? Does he bench press buses in between panels? Seriously, any tips for the rest of us cartoonists on either subject would be greatly appreciated. It's funny, but also, if you're at a desk all the time, that's you have to do something, don't you? You're obviously at a desk for quite some time, or a desk, a pad, or whatever. You know, how long a stint do you have at a pad before you think, I need to stand up, I need to do something, I need to get away from it?
Oh, God, I'm always getting up and there's plenty of shouting, plenty of swearing when I'm drawing, you know, if I have plenty of mistakes happening. I have to get up from the desk and just like have a quick wander and make a cuppa, and then go bench press a bus, which is Matchbox buses, I think he's on about.
I get quite a lot of exercise, just aerobic exercise, by reading tweets and throwing my laptop across the room.
Yeah.
That's quite a good way to get exercise.
It gets your fucking heart rate up easy.
Or either that or just Googling pictures of John Late. That gets my heart rate up.
And other things.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Poor old John, he's not even here to defend himself.
No. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. But speaking of the cross-hatching, though, how did you find yourself sort of moving into that sort of style, Do you find it therapeutic when you're cross-hatching as well? Like when you've got a vast page in order to shade, do you just go into a zone and just start cross-hatching?
Yeah, exactly. Like you just go into a zone. I mean, before I actually start a page, I'm just sort of, I don't know, it takes me a while to actually sort of, like, get into it. I do have to get into the zone, I mean, the shifts that I work, you know, it's like you, when you're working 12-hour nights and then you like straight, you know, straight into like your rest days and stuff like that. You know, you're still bloody like walking around like the bloody Walking Dead, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, when I'm sat at the desk, I do my little warm up, you know, so I just grab like spare pad and just, you know, start, you know,
doodle,
flinging the ink around, you know. So
are you a believer in the sort of warm-up sketch? Do you do warm-up sketches? Or I know a lot of people are like that, don't they?
Yeah, I do anything basically just to sort of get into the rhythm of the you know, just into it.
Do you listen to the music while you're drawing?
I mean, I'm into my rock music, you know, so a lot of like Guns N' Roses, Motorhead, AC/DC.
Speaking my language.
I've just had like some like TV in the background, you know. I have a lot of films, you know, like or just like programs on the box, like Ray Donovan, stuff like that, you know.
Ray Donovan's great. Love Ray Donovan. I'm watching that at the moment. Yeah, that's some bleak noir, isn't it? That's proper telly for me. I really like that series.
I really want to watch that series. I need to get on that.
Yeah,
I love Leaf Schreiber.
I've been emailing or texting you two about it. I got hoodwinked into that show. I thought it was about a stalker, but 2/3 of it is about a love story, which is really annoying.
Is that that one about the stalker?
It's way too much love drama in it as opposed to stalking, which my area of interest.
Someone pointed out something about that show that I just thought was a novel touch. That the fact that it's called You, so whenever you say to someone, "Oh, what are you watching?" What are they going to respond?
I'm watching
You.
I've been slacking that title off for a week because I fucking didn't find it annoying. You.
It's so bitter, Dan. Enough. Yeah, do you see what I mean? If you see it from that side, it's quite clever.
I reckon that's written for people who are by someone who's actually a stalker to make himself feel a bit better about doing it, because the stalker in it is kind of like the good guy, isn't it? You kind of warm to him, and he's stalking and murdering people, and you think, yeah, but they kind of deserve it, don't they?
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, lesson for us all there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm writing a pro-masturbation comic back now.
I thought that was a one-sided argument. There's no comments, is there? Sure.
Yeah. Surely especially with comics, you're preaching to the converted, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Too busy masturbating to read comics, some of them are.
One thing kind of admire, you mentioned there, Grant, is the small press artist. Like, you do your 9-to-5 job, whatever you got to do, and then you've got to come home, and then you do your comic stuff. So it's very kind of work intense, and you got to have a discipline to keep doing the bloody thing. I mean, it's the kind of the easy way of just, I'll quickly bang this off. But when you got to do it like every night for weeks and weeks to get a comic out, it's a slog. It really is.
It is. Yeah. I mean, with the shift work, it really does like sort of mess with your sleep pattern. So, I mean, there are times when I'm just like waking up at, you know, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm wide awake. So, you know, I sort of just take advantage, you know, and, you know, when I was doing away, that was like, that was like a big thing, you know, sort of like waking up,
It's a great time. I find it's a great time to write when no one else is about as well. Like, you know, because your phone's not likely to ring. You're not likely to get stupid emails, you know, all this sort of thing. That's why I quite like writing very early in the morning, because you know you're not going to get bothered. You can kind of get into the zone, which is, I suppose, the same thing for the middle of the night almost, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but it does like bite you in the backside, because by like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're just totally fucked, you know.
Yeah.
Man, you're talking my language. I've been there so many times. The kind of, I've fucked up a couple of times. One of the times where it's on the Awesome Comic issue one, I resized the pages to the wrong size, and it bugged me so much. I got up in the middle of the night and then redid it, sent it to Vince, and then went back to bed because I couldn't fucking sleep knowing that I had to do that.
I hope you weren't waiting on a message from me for a long time, Dan.
No, 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 no. I know you don't get up till gone 8. ish.
Yeah, you get about 8:30, don't you?
When the old when the rooster goes in the old fucking
no,
in the barn. Yeah. In the barn. Oh, the rooster's up. Time to get up. He puts his dungarees on, goes out in the garden.
You know what? Right, I was halfway through a witty response, and I almost got it. It almost left my mouth, and then you jumped in as well, Tony. This isn't fair.
You have to start playing out the city boy angle on us.
Yeah, yeah. You just wait when you come to Cheltenham, because you'll be surrounded by fields. You won't know what to do with yourself.
I did the same with that fucking assault on Fortress Doom. I was like, there was so much work to do in so little time.
Oh, yeah, you had loads, yeah.
Yeah, I had to get up in the middle of the night and do it. And then do the portraits on the...
you got that record.
Normally I get up about 3 a.m. and then I go home. I wish. Fucking hell.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, Grant. Grant is normally this bad. I apologise, mate. We do value your input. They leave me on. They make me say,
Don't try blame it on us now, Tony. Right, because you've been saying for the past couple of weeks that now that you're mentally free
retired.
And able, you're going to be going wild.
I even put it in the mailer this week. The reins are off, my friend. I've got to tell you. Yeah, so it's coming. You wait till Cheltenham. Fucking hell, when I turn up in my house shorts, my night shorts on the table.
A word, night shorts. I'd love that. Where's that saxophone? Right. Oh, dear. Anyway, Grant, you say you told us before the show that you haven't got any sort of conventions or appearances lined up for this year, but you're hoping to get to a few shows later in the year, I'm guessing? Is it a travel thing? Because I know, like, certainly with me, when I first sort of started doing small press shows, I wanted to do as many as possible, and then you sort of realise, hold on, I'm spending an awful lot of money travelling a long way. I need to. There's got to be a catchment area, you know, and then it chips back and back. Is it more a sort of travel thing at the moment, or travelling time?
Yeah, I mean, as well. I mean, yeah, that's the main thing as well. I mean, depending on the work as well. I know I've got one commission I've got to get sorted out before. I think probably like May-ish, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I mean, I was speaking to John earlier today as well, and he's been talking about another commission. So I'm not sure when that's going to come up, but yeah, hopefully like later on in the year.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we know, obviously, hopefully there's going to be a couple of projects that will come out later with your name on. But until then, where's your Instagram? Where can people find you on Instagram?
You can get it under, I think is it Grant Artist or Grant Richards Art? Something like
that. Let me have a look. I was looking at it a second ago.
There'll be a link in the show notes, but
It's Grant Richards Art. There you go.
There you go.
And is that the best place to contact you for a commission? Is it Grant or?
Yeah. Twitter as well or Facebook. Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah,
awesome,
mate. I'm looking at that cover to Away number 2. Fucking outstanding, mate.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can't wait to see more of that. That's the second book.
That. It looks like a cover to a European book to me. That's how good it is. Yeah, like a Bond Dessiné book. Yeah, yeah, class, mate. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So good. There you go. Grant's going to stick with us for the rest of the show. He's going to recommend something when we get to that section of the show. But before we get to that, have we got any shout outs this week, gents?
Yeah, I've got a few.
Oh, go on, take it away.
So, firstly, I know we mentioned her last week, but best wishes to Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah Harris. She's not very well at the moment, and it's a bit of a sort of crunch day today as we speak. So, fingers crossed, everyone touch wood for Sarah today. I'm sure she'll be fine, but hopefully get well soon. And I'm hoping that she's going to make it to True Believers. So,
yeah,
that'll be nice. Sliced Quarterly Volume 3 is on Kickstarter, and it collects issues 9 to 12 of this excellent experimental comic I've written here. And it is excellent because I'm in it. And it's really good. It's the last volume of this series kickstarted, and it's well worth looking at. I really love this series. It's been a real sort of trendsetter in experimental comics and what you can and can't do with the medium. Like, really good. Bad Food 2, which is on Kickstarter, which is an off-kilter sci-fi series. I backed this today, actually, and it looks absolutely on point. Really interesting. So Bad Food with a double A, Bad Food 2 on Kickstarter. John Suntress, who's a past guest of ours and a friend of mine who does the excellent and brilliant Word Balloon podcast, which you should all listen to, is in hospital.
Yeah, he's in hospital, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing a few... This is what a trooper John is. He's putting out podcasts from his hospital bed. So he's doing like little shout-out for questions. He'll answer them, record them into his phone and stick them out. Have a look on Twitter or on Facebook if you're friends with us. You can find them. So get well soon, John. We had a chat today about our thoughts on Chris Claremont. I'm not a fan of his and neither is John. And I pointed out to John that Chris Claremont has got quite a shiny walnut head, which is quite interesting.
Oh, like a walnut.
Like a big walnut, like a freckly walnut. Yeah, so have a look at that if you can. But they're my four. I think that's what I've got. Yeah, for the moment. Nice. There you go.
I'll just give a shout out to the Maddiest Boys, who haven't shouted out for a while. Obviously, I pledged to the collection of tragic tales, the collected tales of horror.
Oh, that's just come out, isn't it? It's been posted, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I got it through the post and the Kickstarter. I've got quite a few like cool Kickstarters recently. Normally, I'll do the shameless social media thing of taking a picture and posting it, but I haven't done that recently. but yeah, I mean, looking at this book, it looks lovely. I mean, I haven't actually bought the individual issues. I waited for the trade. Shame on me. But the trade is really nice, I must say. I'm looking forward to reading this and getting through it because it looks properly good.
Nice.
And of course, we've talked about it a couple of times in this show, but True Believers is going to kick off 2019 comic convention season in style.
Yes.
2nd of February at the Jury's Inn in Cheltenham. I got the date right, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yes, we are going to be there along with guests like Rachel Ball, Nick Brokenshire, Mike Collins. The good old Comic House. Never heard of them. I don't know who they are. But Robin Etherington, Laura Howell, Jack Lawrence, Jeff Senior, Dylan Teague, and us. We're going to be there. As well as they've got a great lineup of small press and indie comics creators. I'd be here for ages if I read out the entire list. But there's going to be like back issue comics, artists, traders, launching comics, like cosplay panels, workshops. It seriously is. We know the guys and we love the guys, but we genuinely love this event as well, and it's a great way to start.
Yeah, we do. So
find out more and go to oktruebelievers.com to get your tickets. And if nothing else, just go to the exhibitor page where, like, all the small press people have pictures of Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote, which is still...
people have started redrawing their images as Jessica Fletcher on Twitter, I noticed now as well.
Yeah. Fletch lives.
I'm doing a panel. They've announced it now, so it's called Weird Science, and it's with Mike Collins and Nick Brokenshire, and it's about drawing comics based or creating comics based on already existing science fiction properties. So obviously Nick's doing a Star Wars comic at the moment, and Mike has done some Doctor Who and all that sort of thing. So it's going to be really interesting, and they're both proper interesting guys. They're really good guys, both of them, so it should be a chuckle, so come along to that. That's as awesome. Well,
you are going to be at our table, though. You're not going to just leave.
You're doing
a panel. You've got the amazing like How to Make Comics with Springworth launching, so you could be off signing that probably. Dan, do you think he's going to leave us alone to like hold the baby as it were?
Right, I promise, like, I make a promise here that I will not leave you alone, and by the end of the weekend you'll be so annoyed with me not leaving you alone, dry humping your leg, licking your face. You know, it's all going to happen. Yeah.
You happy now, Vince?
Yeah, how's that?
I'm not happy, Dan.
You called Dan the Thunder Man.
That backfired.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. What's that thing in the Big Bang Theory? I'll be knocking on your door going, Vince.
You watch the Big Bang Theory, do you, Tony?
No, I don't. I've never watched it.
He's out of himself.
All right, Benny.
I've got a shout out for another podcast, Comics for the Apocalypse.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I recorded mine as well.
Sarah Milmo was on the last episode. I'm on the one that should be uploading Monday today.
Yeah.
And I think are you on the next one, Tony, or is there one after?
I'm on the one on the 4th, if that makes sense, I think.
So
we had to be careful what we said, so... True Believers had just happened. did our record, if you see what I mean. So, yeah, I think that's what you said. So I'm on that, yeah. That was a laugh, actually. Sam was great, actually. Good host.
Yeah, nice guy.
It's a nice little concept, yeah. It's a bit like... it's a bit like Desert Island Comics. It's sort of what comics would you have if there was an apocalypse? Which one, you know? And there's all these different categories, and I had real fun choosing. And I just ranted, and occasionally I remembered that I should stop ranting, and then speak to Sam. It was a bit like one of them. So
yeah.
And I know what your weapon was, by the way. He's told me what your weapon was.
What my weapon was?
Yeah,
I'm going to be buying my weapon this year.
Should I be?
And if you want to find out what that is, listen to Sam's podcast.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, Samuel George London, isn't it?
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Creator of Milford Green, who's going to have a Kickstarter coming up, isn't he?
Yeah,
anytime.
Yeah, I think it's
Green, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks
and
great.
He'll be pimping it. He's got a table at Troubes, and he'll be pimping it there. So pop by and have a chat to him about it.
It's Milford Green in space.
Sorry. Oh, that was worth it just for that, Dan.
Thanks.
And one more for me, if you don't mind, is as anyone who's my sort of friend on Facebook knows, I lost my dog this week, and just a thanks to everyone who sent sort of really nice messages on Facebook and tweets and DMs and stuff. It was really touching, actually. Yeah, thanks to everyone for that. There you go. Yes.
There you go. So obviously we're at that stage of the show now where we're going to recommend some comics. So. Just recommend anything to our lovely listeners. Should we let the guest go first?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Grant, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
Right, I've actually got here the Needleman.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, now, over the last few months, I've ordered a whole bunch of like books, and to be honest, most of them I actually haven't read yet, but I mean, Needleman, when you open it up, you see the cover. It's the artwork is just fantastic. That's definitely one for everyone to get their hands on.
It's a hard one to put your finger on, isn't it? It's I could see, to me, it's a story that could easily have fitted into maybe like Mega City One, or it's almost got that vibe to it, isn't it? It's got that sort of 2000 AD sort of thing to it. You think? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's got that sort of really heavily, I don't know, sort of coloured and designed, and the main character is hard to put your finger on whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, isn't it? Immediately, I can't figure out, because he looks like, it's almost like there's a sort of zombie like old man quality to his face, and you're like, what is this all about? It's all very strange, and then he sort of comes round to something at some point. There's a number of points in it, aren't there? But is it a series, Grant? I'm not sure. Are there more coming?
I think it's just a one-off. Martin Simpson. It's just brilliant.
I really enjoyed that. He sent it through for reviews.
He's definitely a sort of voice to look out for with comics, I think. I remember seeing his artwork in the British Comic Showcase, those graphic novels sometimes. Have you seen that about? He did a story in one of those, and that was one of those... when an album... like blows its wad because the first track's so good. Do you know what I mean? And his story was the first sort of story in the collection, and you're sort of like, oh my god, ruins it forever. You're too good, Martin. That's what it is. You're too good.
He's very good. And it started off as serialized, didn't it, in Soaring Penguin anthology, the name which I can't remember, then I think it works better as a collection. I'd definitely read it as a yearly sort of album thing. I could easily see it have that sort of thing to it. A yearly trade of it sort of thing.
Nice. Do you want to go next, Tony?
Okay, mine's a bit of a dark one, if you're ready.
Oh, my word. Here we go.
So I read a book this week called The Sons of El Topo, Volume 1, Kane. Has anyone seen the movie El Topo?
No. A long time ago, yeah.
Like a 1970 movie, I think.
Jodorowsky, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is a album-sized book, and it's put out by Arkea, which I actually found quite strange, actually, because most of Jodorowsky's stuff is put out by Humanoids. I understand from just some chat I saw online, I think Tim Pilcher was saying it, that there was some kind of bidding war went on about this. I'm not sure exactly the details of it, but it's written by Alejandro Jodorowsky, who he's many things. A number of them are not too good, but he's certainly a filmmaker. He's an attempted filmmaker. If anyone's seen his attempt at making, or very failed attempt at making, a movie Dune, before Lynch. And he also has written like numerous comics, The Inkle and stuff like that come to mind straight away. Cover and art is by Jose Ladron. More about him in a minute. Colors by Ladron and Hugo Sebastian Faccio. It's translated by Edward Govan and it's lettered by Devon Bennett. The intro is a sort is in typical sort of Jodorowsky fashion. And he does like an introduction, a prologue to it, like a text piece where he basically admits to having invented the midnight movie. Jodorowsky loves to claim things constantly. If you read any of his autobiographies, and you think actually, I think he probably invented the wheel and ears. You know, he does things like that. And he claims, and I don't know if this is actually true, but is it possibly? But he claims he invented the midnight movie showing by El Topo showing in a cinema. And being so popular, it made loads of money. But there was obviously a conspiracy in the movie studios and they decided not to produce a sequel. You fast forward then 46 years and he meets Ladron, and who he refers to as a genius. And I kind of make him right a little bit on that. And he decides to continue El Topo as a comic. So he transferred the script for what, if there was a script or if it was just an idea of his, for the sequel to El Topo into a comic. Anyone who's seen El Topo can tell you that it's a movie that makes very fucking little sense. But it has a sort of esoteric, possibly sort of pseudo-mystical vibe to it. It's a tale of a gunman in the Old West, very vaguely. And it has sort of strange sort of biblical references. And it's very sort of heavily handed in the sort of hippy dippy Eastern mysticism and, you know, fatalism and all this sort of thing. Jodorowsky plays himself in the film and also casts a number of sort of very strange and often deformed people. And I think doesn't he fall in love with a lady dwarf, I think, or something like that in the movie. To be fair, I saw it about 5-6 years ago, and it's complete, apart from a bit where they kill rabbits, which I was a bit affected by. It's sort of completely sort of lost and trying to remember what it was about because it's so sort of strange. And the book sort of completely carries on in that exact same vibe. it almost takes off where it finishes. El Topo has self-immolated himself and turned into large honey bee. Sort of bee combs, you know, like honeycombs that look a little bit across between a sort of strange magical altar and Stonehenge. So that's what always happens when you die, isn't it? You know, you become a honeycomb. and in this sort of area between the mountains, various people, tribes, holy men gather around in this sort of open air cathedral, and the altar is surrounded by a large moat, and at the bottom of the moat is acid that if you fall into it, you die. But the bridge is made of levitating stones that seem only to be allowed through by the righteous, the innocents, or the innocent who are allowed to sort of cross these stones. El Topo's son then rides into town looking again, strangely exactly like Jodorowsky as a young man. And it's just very strange. He sort of is confronted by ghosts. There's a kid who runs across the stones just to eat the honey. And he sort of speaks in this sort of strange outburst of sort of prophetic poetry almost every so often. And then he decides, right, F this. And he heads into a town. And as he heads into the town, he meets a man and a woman. And he says to one of them, it's been 6 centuries since anyone spoke to me. So sort of little of the dialogue kind of makes sense at all. And then it takes a very problematical turn for me, this book, a very, very strange turn. And it's easily probably one of the, I've read Crossed. So I don't shy away from the transgressive in comics, you know, and I never have, but this really reinforced my suspicions that I have of Jodorowsky being something very bad indeed. I have to say it goes incredibly dark. There's a rape that happens in it, and it is just I was going to describe it, but I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm going to leave it because it's not like a close-up porno, you know, it's not like that, but it's sort of there's just a horrible, inhuman brutality to it, which I'm going to say it starts off with him just spitting constantly in this woman's face, and it just gets worse and worse from there.
Jeez,
It's really, really rough. And then he decides after that he burns the town down, and he creates the fire from a bunch of dirt that he holds in his hand. So you can see that he is almost reinforcing his own opinion of himself as being some kind of sort of messiah, magical creature kind of thing. The story then sort of takes off in a completely and nonsensical direction, as the movie does, constantly sort of changing and turning, and it's hard to spot because it makes no sense really. The last page clearly indicates and declares El Topo his son, and possibly Jodorowsky are in fact Jesus Christ. So I'm not, I know,
all done to that in, level. Like, yeah.
Yeah. All done in album sized, you know, it's one of these big sort of European album sized books in English, but done in glorious colors. So I'm not recommending the book at all. I'm recommending Ladron as the artist. I wouldn't have mentioned it today if it wasn't for the art. The art is just so beautiful. It's clear and wide in scope, and it's busy when it needs to be, and it's bleak and sparse and beautiful elsewhere when it needs to be.
Doesn't Ladron do Elephant Men as well?
Yes, exactly, mate. Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, very true. Yeah, so Ladron, he's a Mexican artist. He won an Eisner in 2006, which I think was for Elephant Men, actually. He's done The Fine Linkow, which is obviously another thing with Jodorowsky. He's done some Cable and some Inhumans, believe it or not. And he's also done some Conan for Dark Horse, which I really must search out because I can imagine that's going to be incredible. He's also works on a short story with Jodorowsky in Heavy Metal in 2004 called Tears of Gold. I'll be looking for him. Is just spectacular. It's kind of a Western, mystical Western, I'm going to put it that way, with this sword fighting and guns. And there's a lot of sequences without words. So there's a lot of looks. You know, a lot of European books have looks between characters. They exchange looks, you know, and it has meaning and stuff like that. Yeah. And there's a couple of pages that are just sort of wide open, the wide open plains of him riding a horse across the plains, and he comes to a sort of big crevasse and he looks across it and sees a female, and there's a nun in it. And it's got all this like constant sort of religious imagery and small Mexican towns and bell towers and, you know, processions and strange sort of monks and religious people. He rides a horse into a church at one point. It's just so beautifully visualized. It really is incredible. This album is only $14.99. It's a large oversized sort of hardback, 64 pages, which I think I've got to tell you, $14.99 for this is a great price. I would buy anything now by Ladron, and I would probably avoid Jodorowsky if he wasn't with Ladron. But I'm the person least on this podcast to turn his nose up any kind of sort of sexual.
Yeah, that's what worries me about that book.
I don't think you should. No, that's wrong. You should do. You can't shy away from any subject. I think if it's done for the right reasons in the right way, you can tackle any subject you want to. Yeah. Same with anything. But I think it's just done in such a way that I'm quite a hard-hearted kind of satirical kind of guy, and I find things. I think if you were of made of lesser metal, it might affect you a bit more than it did me. But reader beware. But have a look at some of the beautiful art if you happen to be in Forbidden Planet or a comic shop. Then have a look at it, but avoid the last third of it. That's what I'd say. Right. There you go. So that's The Sons of El Topo, Volume 1 by Kane, by Jodorowsky and Ladron, and it's published by Arkea. There you go.
Okay. So how do you...
Lighten the mood.
How do you follow that?
Actually,
we can lighten the mood, can't we, Dan? Because Dan's going to join me on this one.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's definitely going to lighten the mood, and it's something that we're both excited to talk about, and I don't know about you, Dan, but this is an early contender for one of the comics of the year for me.
Oh, nice. Oh, good.
Yeah. It's great. I've been talking about it all weekend.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, here's the spiel on the back. What are you up to today? Fancy helping a superhero and his chums defeat a monster? Jump in and join General Punchy, his sidekicks Evan and Emily, a robot butler.
What you two wankers are going on about.
A robot butler called Springworth, and a whole lot of fun. As you go through, shut up!
Oh, sorry.
As you go through this adventure, you will help decide on what costumes they wear, who they'll battle, and what robots will help out. Welcome to a world of superpowers and giant monsters. We are, of course, going to talk about how to make comics with Springworth by Andy Hanks and some bloke called Tony Esmond.
Hey, great work on this, dude.
Thank you, mate. Cheers. Yes. Yeah, to be fair, it's all three of us. So it was Aaron. Aaron was great as well on this. He's a really great editor to work for, I've got to tell you, Aaron.
Yeah, and that's
yeah. We had a blast on this.
Aaron Rackley of Fair Spark Books, and I got, obviously, when I was talking about receiving Kickstarters, this is one of the ones that came through the door. And I wanted the best sort of place to talk about it rather than just 240 characters or whatever. And I know Dan feels the same way I do. I will disagree with you on something, Tony.
I will
heavily disagree on something with you. You are not a hard-hearted person.
a number of people were surprised that I could write a kid's comic, let's face it.
We're going to take a peek behind the curtain. I know you normally see the Great and Powerful Oz, but we're going to talk about the person behind the curtain here. Yes, because this book is just... I mean, I loved the idea of it anyway. For those who don't know, making sort of how to make comics with Springworth is essentially like an interactive do-it-yourself sort of comic, superhero comic for kids to get involved.
Yeah.
I especially wanted Dan to jump on board with this because I don't have a child. He does. So there's two angles.
I'd say my son's been working on the building the base bit. There's a bit kind of like Batman's cave where there's like chunks of the underground base kind of left for you to fill in.
Yeah,
and
that's great. That was credit where credit's due. That was completely Andy and Aaron's game. That was We needed some stuff for the back of it. We thought, because getting the kids to design stuff as well. And they said, well, what about this? Now, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
So, I really like that idea.
In terms of interactive books, I mean, no doubt we've all been into shops like The Works or like things like that that seem to have these, you know, do-it-yourself type stuff for kids. And it's the standard, you know, it's just really simple. And I just think it doesn't achieve what it truly sets out to do in my mind. But this one was such a, I don't say pleasant surprise because I saw some of the work in progress, but to see everything that I didn't know that was going into it as well. Obviously the story is funny as well with Springworth, and like it really brings the reader in. But you know, whether it's designing the costume, you know, for General Punchy, which I read the names through this book, and that's when I see Tony in it. You know, you've got to design costumes, you know, you constantly got to colour in throughout the whole book. Like Dan said, you've got to sort of actually design a base, you know, figure out how you do your base, draw a crazy monster, there's only an eyeball, and then it says draw the rest of him here as crazy as you like, you know, and you've got to design traps and colour in, and, you know, this is just... Every page that it is a gift. Never mind like the book itself. The amount that this gives you is amazing. I would have loved this. I would have absolutely loved this when I was a kid.
Oh, thanks, man. I think we also had the design, the origin, which Andy came up with, and Aaron actually.
Yeah.
And we were chatting about it online, and we thought that was hilarious. And I think I said no pearls.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have foot dropping pearls at all, you know.
Yeah.
Like into every Batman movie that's ever been. But
I know obviously nice when Andy was on the show as well, you know, he did talk about they added some extra pages to the book because of the Kickstarter did so well, wasn't it? But even that's just a lovely sign off to the story already. But you know, you got this by the end of it, you just want to continue it more. And for me, I'll let Dan take it away in a minute, but for me, obviously Little Heroes does like fantastic work for kids in hospitals and like, you know, healthcare organizations, you know, doing these sort of things to all these kids who are obviously suffering, or you know, they're going through hard times, and they've already done so much to get comics in the hands of kids and get them creating comics, and they want to get these sort of books to them as well, don't they?
Yeah, and, that's the idea,
and that is, you know, that this
everyone
is just...
was, I'd say everyone was great in the Kickstarter. I mean, thanks to everyone who backed it, because I love you all. But we had some great, like Dave Gibbons, Duncan Fagredo, Pat Mills, Justin Gray is the American creator who's probably best known for writing Jonah Hex and stuff like that. You know, we said loads of people put into it, just saying, oh, this is like a marvellous idea. Yeah. And what we got is a lot of people put into it because, you know, Kickstarter's for adults, isn't it? Most adults do Kickstarters. Yeah, if you've got a kid, that's cool. But a lot of people just donated money because they said it was on, like, a nice cause. And that's right. And it allowed us to print so many. We were over the moon. Yeah. Did you get Andy's sketchbook as well, did you?
I did indeed.
I did, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
How cool
that,
is that?
That could be a recommendation by itself. Although, points are off because you do the intro for it. I've got to keep him down to earth, people. We've got to keep him down to earth this week.
Shall I tell the story that nobody will believe?
Not yet. Not yet. Let's finish this bit. Dan, like, talk about your experience with the book so far since getting it.
Yeah, I was kind of like, even reading it now, how it was put together, in as much as the mechanics of the kids creating the characters and it all working throughout. I mean, kind of that seems really tricky to me. So,
yeah, I started off by writing it, then I almost had to work backwards.
Yeah,
because there's stuff that you cut. For example, they design the monster, so we can't really have the monster. And then we sort of thought, well, how are we going to show the monster in the last panel? And then Andy came up with it. Well, we'll put him in bandages.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, because he's just had a beating off General Punchy, you know. But the you almost had to work backwards to figure out what you could and couldn't see. And then, like, we had the moment with the flying robot. And then we thought, well, they've designed it, but it's flying through the air. So you can have, like, the wind around it. So you don't have to show it, sort of thing. Hmm. Yeah, it's a kind of a bit like a choose your own adventure story. You almost have to lay it out on paper backwards to figure out where you're coming from. You know, it's a strange one. Yeah.
And there's even little things like this where there's space bunnies. There's these green bunnies that you'll find throughout the book.
Yeah, they're
great. You know, stuff like that.
Andy loves those bunnies. If you've got a sketch as well, the bunnies are all on the Springworth sketches, I think, if you've got the sketch tier.
Yeah.
I've got mine in front of me, actually, at the moment. Yeah. Really good.
The other, on the back, this is another thing that was a massive sort of tick. It says the price is £3.25.
It's not bad, is it?
That's really good.
That's not bad. That is ridiculous value. People don't charge. I'm sorry. People don't charge that these days. They don't. You know, for what you get in this comic, the quality of the printing, the way it's come out, how much like kids will get out of this. We always talk about, you know, what do we get for our mates? You know, get them a graphic novel or get them something like this. Do you know what I mean? But it can be trickier to, like, if they've got young kids or something. This is a perfect gift for kids.
Because it's magazine size as well. And it's a thick stock paper. Aaron was very careful with the paper because you have to be able to draw on it. It has to be able to take ink and pencil and stuff like that.
I had an annoying experience. Not because of the book. Because of the bloody postman sort of slightly bent the bloody cardboard. I mean, Aaron did what he could, you know, he cardboard envelope and everything, but the post, he bent it slightly.
I hate postmen.
I'll just have to get another one, won't I?
it should go down a storm at Troops, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think if you've got an annoying child with you and you want to shut your child up, I think that's a good option.
Or if you've just got your child with you, you're totally.
Yeah, it's not an admission your child is annoying.
Yeah. And I would say, and this may sound a little bit soppy and a bit emotional. Not because of you, Tony, never mind. I would say this is a fantastic comic. But when your child or whoever you know has worked through it and created something, no matter who they are, it becomes the best comic of the year.
And please post pictures of your kids' drawings on it. We love all that sort of thing as well. We really do like that, you know.
Yeah,
that was cheers.
So you're gonna have to do another one in the future. So there you go.
Well, I was chatting to Andy about that earlier, actually. So we've got a little something planned, which we're gonna have a little creative meeting at Troops about. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So
He's gonna have a creative meeting, Dan. I swear, he's not gonna be at the table with us.
You can sit there. You can be like my solicitor.
I'm not taking that. I'm not going to talk about soliciting. So there you go.
Thanks, guys. I didn't know that was coming, actually, so it's very kind of you.
Yeah.
So please buy a copy. Yeah, it goes to a good charity.
That will be launching at True Believers. So find your one. And all of these books that we've talked about this week, you'll find all the show notes in the episode. So definitely check out the podcast page, etc. And thank you, Grant, again for joining us this week.
Great. Yeah, cheers, Grant.
You've been an absolute star.
Yeah, no worries. Cheers.
I know a lot of our listeners have been wanting to hear your lovely voice, so so now when they come up and say hello at a show, you'll know where they've come from.
Itch is scratched.
Yeah, that itch is scratched. Well, we scratch a lot of itches. Oh no, that's not. Yeah. We don't want to market that service. But we hope you enjoyed this episode, folks. And if you want to get in touch with us about anything at all about the show, or if there's any events, we want to know more about some small press events, like whether it's shop signings or whatever, any indie events, just let us know, because we'll give them a shout out on the show, no matter where.
Yeah, there's
are.
A few little things come up. I think I saw there's a, is it Swindon Zine Fest have put out their applications, and there's a few shows that we don't automatically hear about. So if you have got something, then please do, because don't just presume we've heard about it. Please write in, you know.
Yeah. I mean, literally,
presume we haven't.
Yeah, we haven't, because we've got our heads up our asses. So so get in touch with us. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we post up the future guests. We've had quite a successful couple of days of scheduling guests, so it's going to be an exciting few months for you lovely listeners.
Yeah.
In fact, Dan said we'd smashed it, which I was quite pleased he said it. Yeah.
We're always seeking his approval, aren't we? Don't you think so? Yeah.
Statement of fact.
Yeah, it's true. Now, if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. If you want to talk about comics in a positive, friendly, sometimes hilarious environment, then go to Awesome Comics Talk, which is the group on Facebook, which we started, but then we just let everyone run.
Yeah, some great stuff on there today, actually. Marrow's posted this really great hipster version of the Marvel Universe, which is still making me chuckle now. So when I think when Wolverine pops his claws, rather than saying snick, it says Snapchat.
Oh dear.
And you've got another review up, haven't you, Tony, on Never Run Anything?
Yeah, I've just put one up. Anyone read my mailer this week knows that the Snapchat claws are out. So I will be honest with you, and I won't avoid reviewing your book simply because I don't like it. So constructive criticism is the new catchword at Never Run Anything. There you go.
There you go. Thank you for listening to us, whether it is on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. Or if you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, helps get the word out, and people discover so many new artists, hopefully every week. I hope they're discovering, or they're discovering that they can put up with us a little bit less each week, but you never know. There's also the podcast networks such as Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
I think we're on Pod Wedding Vegetables, aren't we?
Well, that could have been worse.
Could have been.
We're also on Spotify, so thank you if you listen to us there as well. So where can people find us on Twitter, Instagram, wherever, etc., Tony?
neverrunanything.blogspot.co.uk or SISEZOHYZ on Twitter. There you go.
Dan?
Find me on Twitter @VanguardComic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Nice. Yes. Get in touch with him for a commission as well, because his latest one absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, like did all right. Yeah, good one, that. Yeah. I forgot to mention Vanguard issue 16 starting on Friday. Maybe I should have mentioned that.
Yeah, we'll mention it now. What's starting on Friday, Dan?
Vanguard issue 16.
Yay!
Is that it? Only to be the cover. That's the nature of webcomics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Drip feeding the amazingness one week at a time. Sound a bit dirty when I said it. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter @JesterDiablo. You can find out more about my comic at theredmashfrommars.com. And Grant Richards, once again, thank you very much. Where can people find you online, etc.?
Okay, Grant Richards on Facebook, Grant Artist Twitter, and Grant Richards Art on Instagram.
Yeah,
I do Deviant Art as well, so Black Label Art.
Cool. And are you open for commissions at the moment, Grant, or...?
Yeah. Just send us a message and we'll have a chat. Yeah, see what happens.
And if you use the code AwesomeIsSexy1, you won't get any discount. But
I just
want people to say. Thank you for listening, everyone. And from Dan, Tony, Grant, and myself, have a brilliant week. Read loads of cool comics. Look forward to next week's show. And as always, What do they do?
Stay awesome.
Thanks, Dan. Tony, I expect a better review.
I know.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.